Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Can I get a better one than that?
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh my gosh, you guys are all so beautiful. Look at you all. So good to see your faces. Thank you, Dean, for asking me to teach. It's been a wonderful privilege. And today I'd like to share on something that's very important to me. I've kind of really loved this topic a lot, and I kind of want to spoil it already. It's choosing to be a servant and serving as ambassadors for Christ. So when you woke up today, hopefully the first thing that some of you guys did was brush your teeth, right? Because you don't want stinky breath.
Yep.
All right, check. But, you know, that's a decision that we make. And after that, you know, we put on our clothes and then we go eat breakfast and then you choose what you eat. Life is a series of decisions. And as ambassadors, we choose to serve. You know, no pressure or anything. That's kind of a big deal. So as ambassadors for Christ, it's our privilege to serve God and one another. So what does it mean to be a servant? So I'm going to read a little excerpt from Take a Stand for God by Dr. Victor Paul Werwolf. The more you become a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater freedom you will have in your life. When an individual is born, that person is born to live. When an individual is born again, that person is born again to serve. As far as I understand God's word, anyone who is ever called to be an apostle will absolutely have to be a servant, a doulos, a marked out one. That decision is by self-will and determination. He will have to absolutely be a slave to the master by his own will, by his own choice, because of his wholehearted love for the master. So, when I say doulos, you guys say servant. Alrighty? I'm gonna try it out. Some of you are kind of asleep. I can see it in the, right now. Okay, so doulos.
Servant.
Doulos.
Servant.
Cool. So I'm gonna test you guys later on that. Okay? So turn to Galatians 5:13. This is going to be my main verse today. So in Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love, serve one another. It says it clear as day. We're to serve one another. And it also says that we have liberty. We've been called unto liberty. So we kind of can do whatever we want. We have freedom of will. But we're not to use it for an occasion of the flesh, right? So that's pretty obvious. You know, we don't chase things of this world, but we serve. And who's someone that served? A lot of people. Jesus Christ. He's one that served, and we're his ambassadors. So that's what we're supposed to do. We represent Christ, and if Christ served, we should too. Please turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, and in verse 16, it says, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. So we're supposed to serve God. You know, we don't go out in the world and do whatever we want. And that's just, you know, as we're servants, we're already redeemed and stuff like that. We don't just go out goofing around. You know, that's not what we're supposed to do. What we should do is we should be servants of God. And someone else that served, we can look at Romans 1:1 to see who else served. So please turn there. Sorry. So we have freedom of will. We can do whatever we want, whenever we want. And this guy, as we see in Romans 1:1, did exactly that. So Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So we know that he was one of the greatest apostles of all time. We got the church epistles from him. But he had to make a decision to serve. He chose that. And if we turn back the clock, he wasn't exactly serving God. So let's go to Acts chapter 8. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. And in verse 3, as for Saul, he made great havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. So this is the same guy that we saw in the next book over that was an apostle. How does that make any sense? You know, if he's wrecking people, how much would you like it if someone broke into your house and took your mom and dad, took them off to jail? Not very much, right? I don't think that would be a pleasant experience. And then like 10 days later, he's like one of the greatest of all time serving the word. That's kind of like a crazy switch. It's a big 180. But we can see the decision that he made in chapter 9. So please turn there. And in verse 15. So this is God talking to Ananias. And we'll see what he says. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel.
What?
That's weird. Like, how would you expect this guy over here that took Brian Gosher to jail to be called to be an apostle? That's crazy work, right? And if we look in verse 16, for I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Verse 17, and Ananias went his way, and entered into his house, and putting his hands on him, and said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in thy ways as thou camest, hath sent me, and thou mightest receive thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. And when he received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days in the disciples which were at Damascus. In verse 20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. What an ambassador, you know? He chose to serve, you know? He represented Jesus Christ in the churches and he preached it to everybody. He was an apostle. And we can make that same decision too. I don't think anybody here has really done anything that bad where they had to like get their sight removed and then give it back, you know, to like preach the word. But Paul did exactly that. So we can too. And I'm pretty sure he's not around anymore, right? So we are now. So we can do exactly that. You know, we're the young people. We serve. It's our turn. You know, we're going to school. I know, Jacob, where are you? You're leaving in like a couple days, right? You're going to Ohio. You can represent God right now. And now I'd like to turn to Acts 20. It's right in the neighborhood. Acts 20, verse 35. I have shewed you all things, how that so laboring, ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So we can serve, help, and take care of people, just like Jesus Christ did. We take care of each other in the family of God, like some of us work out in the gym. I know Caleb, Andres, Jomar,
I know a couple of you guys go to the gym, you know. It's like the same thing. We build each other up. We support the weak. And we get more blessed to give than to receive. Boom. That's like a no-brainer right there, you know. We're not to do it in a selfish way. But when people get built up around you, there's more smiles on everybody's faces. I think I'd be more happy too, right? And then now, I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 19. So again, this is Paul talking here. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. This is about Paul's choice to serve. He made himself a servant unto all. And what did he do? He gained. He chose to serve. You know, and that's what we're to do. We're to choose to serve others, whether that be scrubbing a toilet. Man, let me tell you, setting up here was like the perfect witness for this teaching. I gave and everybody gave, and it was just like so great to see everybody blessed. You know, it was just so beautiful to see. And when we served, you know, we got blessed big time. You know, we took care of each other. We're to serve and do that. You know? So now I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, each one of us is very special. We're all different in a different way. I'm not like Jesse Carr, and he's not like Joshua Shack. Joshua Shack isn't like Dean, you know? But we've all been called to this one body, all to the family of God. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. And in verse 12, it says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. What a beautiful section. We each have something specific to give. You know, if we didn't have Liam back there, we wouldn't have good sound. You know what I mean? It's something like that. Josh likes to drive the van, so we get our stuff on time. You know, it's something silly like that, that we can all contribute to this body of Christ. You know, look to the person on your left. Oh, sorry, this way. Now to your right. Are you the same as that person on the left or right? No, exactly. You know, my bicep is different than my calf. It's not the same thing. We all work different parts, and we're all equally as important. And in verse 18, if we skip down there, it says, but now God hath set the members, every one of them in the body, as it had pleased him. So if God's happy, should we argue with it? No? Who here has watched the Olympics? Cool. Who watched the men's 4x4 race? It was kind of crazy, right? What if the anchor was like, I'm all right. I'm not gonna do it. Would they finish in first? No. Same thing here. We're all equally as important, and we all work together to work the machine, you know? It's like missing a gear in your car. It's not gonna run, you know? So now that we know there's roles to play, what makes a servant? Well, Jesus Christ was the perfect servant. You know, we could take a look at him. He's our greatest example. Despite being the only perfect person, you know, he still served others. So please turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2. And in verse 21. For there hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. It's plain as day. Man, we're supposed to follow his steps. He's our example. And a little bit more that we can take a look at this in Philippians chapter 2. We could take a little bit more. from here. So Philippians chapter 2. So far we saw that Paul made a decision, you know, he chose to serve, and each of us here work different parts, and we can each choose to serve. And then now we're looking at Jesus Christ, and he's our greatest example. So in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and of one mind. You know, that's what God wants. He wants us to be of one accord and of one mind. If we're to be servants, we have to be like-minded. So, has anyone here worked in a restaurant by any chance? Okay, Jesse. Yeah. If the server and the cook were arguing, was food put out as quick?
No.
There you go. They're not like-minded. You know, if we argue and if we don't have a like mind, stuff's not going to get done either. You know what I mean? God doesn't want us to fight or be divided. He wants that unity. Now take a look at verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. As servants of God and as ambassadors, we're not to do things for ourselves. We do it for the big G-O-D. We do it for God, you know? It's never about me. It's never about that. We build each other up. And as a result, the body just gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Now in verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. There you go. We're not to look at ourselves. We're to look at others. Who needs help? Who would benefit a little from, like, a little conversation? You know, who's by themselves? Talk to them a little bit, you know? It's things that like that. You know, we build each other up. And verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. That's just such a good verse right there, man. You know, Christ didn't think of himself as like the greatest of all time. That word or that phrase, no reputation, that means empty of self. That means he put himself aside. He placed his life under by his own will. He was a person too, you know. It's our decision to do that. And Christ did it. So can we, you know? It was never about him when really it should have been. It should have been all about him, man. But he just didn't do that. So, you know, what makes me any better to say otherwise? Now in verse 8, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, if anyone had the right to be pompous, it was Jesus Christ, you know? But he gave us his life for us. I don't know if I'd be able to do that. That's kind of hard, you know? That's a lot of decisions right there. But, like, he did that for us. That's the same, you know, we should have that same mindset for each other. Now we can see in John 13 how he did exactly that. So please turn to John 13. If one is called to be an apostle, he absolutely has to be the greatest servant. So in John 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. So, Jesus Christ was their master. We can all agree that. He had his disciples there, and they were eating dinner. And what Jesus Christ does here is he washes their feet. This is kind of bogus. This was the job of the lowest servant of the house. Let me explain why. So a lot of us here are at camp with shoes and socks, right? Yet our feet still stink. You know what I'm saying? Back then, they didn't have that. They didn't have paved roads. They didn't have socks and Skechers. They had sandals, you know? And this was a nasty job. They had some rancid dogs. And this was the job of the lowest servant because nobody wanted to clean that. So what is Jesus Christ doing washing his disciples' feet? Why is he doing that? That's crazy. So now if we look in verse 12, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Boom. We're to do the same. You know, if Jesus Christ can stoop to the lowest level and wash his disciples' feet, we're to do the same. Maybe not literally, but we're to stoop to that level of lowness and serve others and put others ahead of ourselves. You know? In verse 15, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. So you'll be happy, you know? That's one way that you can bless and serve others, is you put yourself aside, you put yourself below, you have that emptiness of self that Jesus Christ had, and you give and you serve, you know? Whether, you know, and if it's hard, so be it. I had to walk, like, a lot of ways to clean and stuff like that. You know, Ayana knows. But it's cool, you know, because I'm doing it for God. We're all doing it for God here, you know. It's okay if it takes a long time. It's okay if you're hot and you're tired. You know, you put yourself aside, put God first, and you'll be happy. You know, it's just a beautiful section of God's word. And it just, you know, perfectly conveys how we're supposed to carry out his word, you know. Once again, I like to mention that serving is just the greatest witness, you know. Since we bear the weight of all heavens, no pressure or anything, it's the greatest way we can show other people that, you know. We put ourselves aside, and in this family we serve. And to close, I'd like to turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, and in verse 13, it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another. You know, we make that conscious decision, that active decision to serve others, just like Paul did, you know. We're to do that, we're to put ourselves aside, have emptiness of self, just like Jesus Christ did. You know, and when we do that, we get blessed. It's like a win-win for everybody, you know? God gets happy. We get happy. I get happy. We all get happy when we do that, you know? And I actually lied. I'd like to read you guys a little poem by Dr. Werwell. It's called The Secret to a Holy Life. The secret to a holy life is to get your eyes off your own inadequacies and onto the Father and his glory. Our service is first and foremost to God and with God. not always to man. To walk worthily is to walk with thanksgiving to God. The secret of a holy life is to walk with God first and foremost. The secret of a holy life is not the labor we do, but just to love Him first and foremost. Then the work we do is not to be well-pleasing to Him, but because we already are. And one more time, I'd like to read this one part. Our service is first and foremost to God and with God, not always to man. So choose to serve. Love you.